So it is 2021, January 1st. This is the first question of the year. Happy New Year, everyone. So why don't we start off the new year with a DVT, okay? So this woman is pain in her left leg. Duplex ultrasonography of the veins is going to confirm the diagnosis. This is a high-yield diagnostic modality for 2CK / surgery shelves, all right? They'll give you something that sounds like a DVT. Next best step in diagnosis, simply just duplex ultrasonography, not complicated. Treatment is initiated. It's going to be with heparin. Now, heparin's mechanism of action, very high yield for step one, is that it upregulates antithrombin 3, which is going to inactivate factors 2A and 10A. 2A is just another name for thrombin, okay? Low molecular weight heparin versus unfractionated heparin, students will ask about sometimes. USMLE will not be pedantic at that level and have you discriminate. But just to give you a little bit of a quick background there, low molecular weight heparin is classically given because it can be administered subcutaneously, whereas unfractionated heparin is given IV. Low molecular weight heparin acts more on factor 10A relative to 2A, especially compared to unfractionated heparin, okay? Low molecular weight heparin we avoid in renal insufficiency because it's cleared renally. Unfractionated heparin would be given in those instances because it's cleared hepatically. Both heparins are reversed with protamine sulfate, although it's more effective on reversing unfractionated heparin. Now, your lab values, you got to take the training wheels off. You got to know your labs, all right? Hematocrit, 42% plus or minus 5 is normal range for menstruating women, 47% plus or minus 5, normal range for men and non-menstruating women. You don't have to hyperfixate on the exact number. You should just be aware that in adults, upper 30s to 40s is just your normal range. If you were to see something around like 36 or below, you should start to say, like that sounds a bit low. Okay. 50s, you should start to think polycythemia. Although I should mention that in pediatrics, in neonates, low 50s is normal, okay, because of RBC turnover and stuff. Hemoglobin, 12 to 17.5 grams per deciliter in menstruating women, 13 to 17.5 grams per deciliter in non-menstruating women and men. So a lot I can chat about. I don't want to digress. Just focus on this question. White blood cell count is normal here, so 4 to 11,000 per microliter. Platelet count is low, so she has thrombocytopenia. 150 to 450,000 per microliter is our normal range. So the diagnosis is HIT, heparin-induced thrombocytopenia. This is a type 2 hypersensitivity. So heparin will cause or will incite antibody formation against platelet factor 4 heparin complex. Okay, so PF4 hyphen heparin complex. Patient can make antibodies against that complex, type 2 hypersensitivity, as I said. And this can drop the patient's platelets, all right? Now, I didn't make it the focus of this question, but I should actually mention, because it's very, very, very high yield, that the wrong fucking answer for the treatment of HIT is warfarin, okay? The correct answer is a direct thrombin inhibitor, such as dabigatran or bivalirudin, leparudin, okay? That's how we treat HIT after stopping the heparin, of course. Don't choose warfarin. Now, similar to what I did a couple questions ago, I decided to be an unremitting asshole and just put a normal smear here, okay? Nothing wrong with this smear. Why not just make the question a little bit more pretty, a little bit more clickbaity? I can go from 4 views to 7 views on YouTube. That'll make my year. And looking at the answer choices, answer is just going to be choice C, drug-related antibodies, okay? So heparin-induced thrombocytopenia, as I just talked about. Looking at some of the other answer choices, antithrombin 3 deficiency I've seen on surgery shelves, so USMLE does ask it. They'll give it to you in two ways. They'll say a 22-year-old male who has just an idiopathic thrombosis, and they're going to give you no other information. It's a familial disorder, okay? The other way it's going to present is in renal insufficiency with nephrotic syndrome. So I should just say in nephrotic syndrome. So you lose your proteins through the urine, including antithrombin 3. And that can cause renal vein thrombosis, okay? Disseminated intravascular coagulation, DIC. This is precipitated by multiple etiologies such as sepsis, trauma, amniotic fluid embolism, treating AML where the hour rods are released into the circulation. DIC, they're going to give you schistocytes on a blood smear, and you're going to have an increased bleeding time, PT and PTT, almost always. I have seen fucking exceptions that are really annoying to try to explain to students because I would like to just give like a hard rule. But I can tell you that like 14 out of 15 questions you see, DIC is going to have increased bleeding time, PT and PTT. You also need to know if fibrinogen is decreased because it's being consumed. Platelets would be decreased. Plasmin activity is increased because we have increased turnover of fibrin clots, okay? So fibrinogen is decreased because it's depleted, but plasmin activity is increased. And because plasmin activity is increased, D-dimer is increased, okay? So those are arrows they like for USMLE. Now, choice D, Kasebach-Merritt syndrome. This is actually not a weird distractor. This is all over the pediatric shelves for 2CK. I'm not joking. I've seen at least three questions on Kasebach-Merritt syndrome. So we've all heard of strawberry hemangioma, which is just a benign, innocuous, self-limiting hemangioma, like vascular tumor, or I should say vascular abnormality, not a tumor, that will present in pediatrics, so in neonates. So they'll have a small, fluffy, usually about a centimeter, vascular lesion. It's called strawberry hemangioma. It'll grow slightly, and then it will regress naturally, generally over the course of 1 to 2 years. Now, Kasebach-Merritt syndrome, don't confuse it with that. The question's going to tell you that there's a large vascular lesion on the trunk or on one of the limbs of a kid, and you're like, oh, is that like strawberry hemangioma? It's not. You might think, oh, it's just a big strawberry hemangioma, but it's not. Kasebach-Merritt syndrome is a vascular lesion that's very large, and it sequesters platelets. So you need to just know what that is, number one. You just say Kasebach-Merritt syndrome, large vascular lesion that sequesters platelets. It's also known as infantile hemangioma with thrombocytopenia, okay? So they want you to know the mechanism of the low platelets is sequestration within the vascular lesion, okay? Similar, tangentially, but similar to how splenomegaly can also cause thrombocytopenia due to sequestration. So, as I said, high yield for 2CK pediatrics. Vitamin K deficiency, just not related here. If you were confused about heparin versus warfarin, etc., you might be tempted with vitamin K deficiency. First of all, it would give you a bleeding diathesis, not thrombosis. Vitamin K is a cofactor for an enzyme called gamma-glutamyl carboxylase, which is going to activate clotting factors 2, 7, 9, 10, and anti-clotting proteins C and S. Okay, so a lot we can chat about the vitamin K deficiency, but it's either going to be neonates, they'll say bleeding from the umbilical stump, or they'll tell you that there's someone who's been on broad-spectrum antibiotics for at least 6 weeks, and then they have bleeding diathesis. Okay, so a lot we can chat about on these different things. But that's it for this question, all right? Just HIT, heparin-induced thrombocytopenia. It's type 2 hypersensitivity, antibodies against platelet factor 4 heparin complex. Do not fucking give warfarin as the treatment. You're going to give a direct thrombin inhibitor, okay? That's it.